Well, this morning we are privileged to hear from Abraham, and I have to admit, I took the easy way out so far, and I have not attempted to pronounce his last name. Could you teach us all, give us a lesson here on how to pronounce your last name?
Sure. Domo.
Pardon?
Domo.
All right. Okay, can you guys say that together? I'm still... Come on up, Abraham. I'm going to have to work on that, and you have to excuse us Americans here. Good. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and Abraham has consented to bring the message this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing Abraham and his family over here to the United States. And we just continue to ask your blessing on them as they seek your will for them, where it is that you would have them to get jobs and plug in. We thank you for bringing them to us here at London Christian Fellowship as well, and how they have just joined us and being a part of our body here. And we just give thanks for that. And right now, I just want to ask your blessing on him as he brings the message to us, what you have laid on his heart. Lord, bless the words that he shares and open our hearts to hear from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Good morning. I thank God for this opportunity to be together with you, to fellowship together, and to hear what the Lord is saying to his church. Well, I must confess that I also have a problem with some of your names. The last 6 weeks I was at RBC, and I taught a number of students, and some of them even now, I just can't pronounce their last names. I'm Abraham Ndongo. Ndongo. If you have a problem with that, you just be comfortable with Abraham. My family came here 2 months ago, came to the U.S. 2 months ago. And we want to thank each one of you for welcoming us here and to the States. And you have given your material things. There's some of you who have been able to give us clothes. We are warm, and we thank God for each one of you. May the Lord bless you. We feel we are loved. We feel we have brothers and sisters here who care for us, and we are grateful. There are others who have continued to faithfully give us a ride to church and back home. We are grateful. Tanya, Keith and the family, Jesse, of course, Ruben and Vicky, Lucy and Phil, and others, Kevin, and many more. We are grateful. We are trusting God for what he will bring our way. As Christians, we need to trust God for everything, and he has been able to teach us to really trust him one day at a time. Praise the Lord. I want us this morning to consider something which is so important for Christians and for each one of us. And this is the functioning and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the title of the message is Power That Transforms. Power That Transforms. When you read the book of Acts, it's very, very exciting to read and to see how the early church grew. How it grew from a very small fellowship to become a big church and a vibrant church, spreading, according to Acts 1, verse 8, to the ends of the earth. And indeed, when you look at the book of Acts itself, at the end of that book, we see the gospel spreading to the then known ends of the earth, the gospel spreading all the way to Rome. And this is exciting to see the Lord's, a command in what we call the Great Commission being fulfilled. But I wonder how many of us, when we read this story, whether we did consider and find out how this happened, how this gospel spread so fast, to the extent that in Acts 2:41, when Peter had time to preach the gospel or the day of the Pentecost, the scriptures say that 3,000 people came to the Lord. Or even as time went by, they lost count and they were saying that such as were getting saved. How could these uneducated, untrained men could be able to be used of God in a tremendous way? All that work, including the miracles which are found in the book of Acts, and indeed in the history of the church, that helps us to understand the spreading of the gospel to the ends of the earth, is according to the promise of Christ when he said that they should wait for the promise of the Father. And indeed they waited, and they were given this power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore we would say that although the book of Acts is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, in all practical purposes we see this as being a book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in the hearts of men and women who are obedient to the call of their master to go to the ends of the earth. And indeed, there are some people who have called this book the Acts of the Apostles, AX, because it is actually the Acts, the Holy Spirit using men and women to do mighty works for God. Indeed, it was the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through ordinary men and women, ordinary folks who were willing to be obedient to their master, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. These were mere human beings, but full of the Holy Spirit. And we Christians in our day, we are no exceptions. We can, and God is willing to use us as we obediently get to follow him and do what he has called us to do. Now, but the story of the exploits of the apostles does not just begin there. As we attempt to not only emulate these men and women who were moved by the Holy Spirit, and as we admire them, and as we also emulate and try to ask God to even use us in a similar way, we must step back and understand the genesis of all this. We have to understand first things first. You see, it all starts with what the Word of God says, that all men are lost. The realization of who men are. In Romans 3, verse 23, the scripture says very clearly that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Our status, and indeed the condition of all human beings, is what God sees it, that we are all lost. All are lost in sin, and therefore the desire and a requirement, therefore, for change, the transforming change, which according to Romans 6:23, comes when we receive Christ as our Lord. Getting the free gift. Repenting and getting to change our minds and getting to know Christ in a personal way. And when we receive Christ and he changes us and he transforms us, we obediently follow him. And following him becomes the beginning point of getting to know Christ and getting the transforming power that comes when we obey him and when we follow him. When Christ was calling his disciples, he asked them to follow him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 helps us to understand this. He calls his disciples. He calls them instantly and they follow him. But then he tells them, come and I will make you. I want to read that scripture because it is very, very important in understanding how God starts to deal with us as human beings and how he's able to transform us and to use us in a mighty way for his own glory. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He called them. And when you look at the next verse, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Note, he calls them, and instantly they followed him. They obeyed his call. But then, as they follow him, he starts to transform them and to change them. He asks them to follow him and that he would make them. As they follow him, they would be able to be transformed and to be changed. So as they followed Christ, he transformed them to the extent that they entrusted themselves with the Christ. And Christ, on the other hand, was able to reach a point where he knew that these people are transformed enough and they can be able to carry on this work, I mean, which I have started. So that after 3 years, Christ was able to, as it were, to hand over the work of a ministry to these few people who had come to follow him. They had answered his call, and as they followed him, he transformed them and he changed them to a point where they would be entrusted with the gospel. And this is found in Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission. We shall read Matthew 28. We can start from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. They followed him. And you see, we are also part of this great commission. We are part of this equation. God expects us to carry on this great commission, just like the first disciples were very faithful in carrying it out. We are part of the great commission. We are part of the equation if we can allow Christ to make us and to mold us. If we only allow him to make us and to mold us, that we may become the kind of people he can be able to entrust this gospel with. And therefore, prior to being used of God, we have to allow Christ to make us and to mold us. Our task and that of the disciples of old who followed their master is clearly spelled out here. Our job description is very clear here, is to go and to make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them. This was and still remains the job, a description of the church in our days. But it can only be done by people who have allowed Christ to not only call them, but to make them, to transform them, and be able to be the kind of people who would be used of him. We are expected to carry it out, and we cannot do otherwise. The disciples did this work by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we cannot do anything less. They recognized the role of the Holy Spirit in an individual's life. They also recognize the power and the role of the Holy Spirit in the corporate body of the church. They recognized the role and the function of the Holy Spirit in missions. How is this all tied up with the Holy Spirit and even our function? Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. How is the making of a disciples and going out related to the Holy Spirit? How is the Holy Spirit, coming in? And how can we be used of God in doing things? Acts 1, verse 8 says, But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Turn again to Acts 13. Acts 13, a couple of verses, and then we learn a few things. Acts 13, verse 1 to verse 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called the Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And then go to pages or so, depending on your Bible, to 15th. To chapter 15 of the book of Acts, verse 28. This is the Jerusalem Council. 15 verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no longer burden than these necessary things. The emphasis here is, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. The Holy Spirit in the work of the disciples. The disciples were asked by Christ, their Lord, to go and do likewise, to go and make disciples of all the nations. And they did exactly that. In Acts 1 verse 8, we see them being told to go by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the 13th chapter which we have read, they were praying and the Holy Spirit spoke. And in the 15th chapter, the Jerusalem Council met to resolve the whole question of Jews and the and the Gentiles. And then their conclusion was, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to them. So in other words, individuals and the church, we are very careful to recognize the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and their decisions. And therefore, they involved him in all that they were doing. Because I remember when their master was about to leave them, he told them, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will leave you the Holy Spirit. And how much more in our days and in our times when we are expected to carry out the Great Commission, how much more do we need to rely on the Holy Spirit and to recognize his presence and his power in all that we are doing. Actually, the Holy Spirit is involved in the repentance and subsequent following of Christ. He guides us and he leads us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is involved in calling people and making them and changing them and equipping them for the ministry that God has called them to accomplish. And as Christians, in our times, as we obey the Great Commission, we need to recognize the role and the function of the Holy Spirit. An individual and even the church cannot be divorced from the functioning of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's role in the church and in an individual cannot be given a second role. When Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 9, when he was sending the 12 apostles to go out and do ministry, he looked at the multitude, and the scriptures say that he looked at them and he saw that they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And then he concluded by saying, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into the harvest field. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would be able to send out the harvesters out. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one sending us out to do the work of ministry, and he expects us to do the work and do it well. Christ is speaking to his disciples in Luke 14, chapter, verse 31. He talked of a king going out to war, that a king has to sit down first and find out whether he has enough of the armor or whether his strength matches the strength of the army he's going to reach out there. And as Christians who have been called out to do the work of ministry, we need to sit down and ask ourselves, do we have what it takes to do the work of the ministry? What is the Holy Spirit saying, and how is the Holy Spirit working in our lives? We need to be equipped, we need to be ready, we need to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit, even as we think about doing God's work in our days and in our time, because God has entrusted the work of ministry to us. We must therefore be full of the Holy Spirit first before ministering to others. When Christ was discussing getting to give the final word, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4, when he was about to ascend to heaven, and the disciples were really wondering whether his kingdom is going to be established, when and how, he told them it is not their business to know what will happen where, but their business is one, to go out and preach the gospel. Their main preoccupation is to tell others about the love of Christ. And he told them this, Don't just go out because I have told you. I am trying to put it in a paraphrase. But it's like he told them, wait until you receive the promise of the Father. Because he knew the importance of the Holy Spirit in a believer as he goes out to do the work of a ministry. He told them to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. Making the disciples and therefore carrying out the Great Commission is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. We have been called to go out and make disciples. And it is supposed to be a lifestyle. It's not supposed to be an activity for a chosen few. The likes of Todd and the likes of Rob and even others who are in the ministry. It is every Christian's business. It is our business. It is supposed to be a lifestyle, not an event which happens once. It is a lifestyle. And therefore, this calls for each one of us to be ready every time to be used of God in doing the work of ministry wherever we are, in whatever situations we are in. And therefore, we always need to be power-packed. We always need to be ready. We always need to be full of the Holy Spirit because we are supposed to be witnesses and be able to do the work of ministry wherever we are. Christ is speaking on what is called the Sermon on the Mount, reminded the disciples that they are the salt of the earth, that they are the light of the world. And this applies to each one of us. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And when salt functions as salt, its effects are seen and they are felt. Salt can be able to be a preservative. It can be able to give a flavor to food. But this can only happen when salt functions as salt. When light shines, its impact is felt. Darkness is dispelled. We should be normal and function as we should be. We should be normal and function as we should. If indeed we are the light of the world, our business is just to light ourselves up. Our business is just to be salt. Our saltness and our source of light has to be there. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in handy. And indeed, Christ said, if salt has lost its flavor or the saltiness, it is actually worthless. Paul, speaking to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5:18, admonishes them not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. Is it possible for us as Christians in our days to be drunk with things of this world and we forget the mandate that Christ has given us to function as the light of the world, to function as the salt of the earth? We can be drunk. The Holy Spirit helps us to be transformed and not to be conformed. That's what Paul reminds the Roman church in Romans 12, that they should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And the transformation is ongoing in our lives, but it can only happen when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to transform us every day as we continue to function as we are supposed to actually function, doing the work of ministry, wherever we are and whatever we are doing. Let us have a desire to be filled and to walk in the Spirit, that we may be used of God in what He is doing in our day and in our time. And He is well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above even our imaginations, as we just release ourselves that we may be used of Him in the power that transforms. Amen. Let's pray, please. We thank you, our Father, for your Holy Spirit who functions in our lives as we allow him to do a new thing. Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us to be the kind of people you've always wanted us to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. Help us to be full of the Spirit so that we can function as such for your own glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.